This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
This meeting and this conference unto you. We ask in the name of Jesus for a special visitation. That you will open up the heavens and cause us to see your face and to hear your voice. That nobody who is connected to this meeting will live without getting the answer. And they will know of a truth that the thoughts of their inward parts, you have revealed to them the details of what is going on in their own life and spoken clearly to them. Those in need of healing, not one single person will leave this auditorium or leave this conference online without getting completely healed. For the Jesus that we know healed every single person that came to Him for healing. This is the Jesus we know, without discrimination, without finding fault. Everybody that came to Him, He healed them all. Forgave them of their sins and healed them of all their diseases. We have believed for this. We have seen it. And we offer you praise and thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may all be seated. All right. And I hope you can hear me clearly, right? Alright, welcome to, this evening before I came, I just spent some time worshiping and thanking God, you know, for every single person that has preached in this meeting over the years. Because people could have said no. They could have said they are not coming. Alright, so I give thanks to God for all the people He has sent in and all the signs, wonders, revelation, that have happened thus far. I want to praise and thank Him for it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. I'm not a guest minister, so a guest minister, but I'm a host minister, so all right. Our guest minister this evening is around. Let's put our hands together for. Okay, so. All right, so I don't need to call his name again. All right. Amen. So we're going to have a powerful time of worship, all right, and expression in God's presence this evening. Well, I want to kick this meeting off by speaking about the theme of the meeting, which is the sound of many waters. What is that sound? When we say the sound of many waters, what do we mean? What is that sound? If we go to John chapter 3 and verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And then Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Then he spoke about a sound. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, or desires and chooses. And thou hearest the word sound thereof." So what Jesus was speaking about here is the sound of the wind. That all these miracles that you see is what is called the sound, the impact of it. And so when we speak about the sound of many waters, what is the impact? What is the effect of what is called many waters? Now, Jesus said, you can hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from where it's going or coming unto where it's going. In other words, you can't control the wind. Now, hear this. "Whoever therefore will give sound to the wind must submit to the unpredictable nature of the wind." In other words, anybody who is in control of their lives, the sound of that wind cannot be heard through them. Let me repeat. Whoever is in control of their lives and say, "This is where I'm going and this is where I am going to be," that sound cannot be heard. You can get into the sound, all right, today by simply saying, "Lord, I surrender. Whatever your will is for my life, I am opening up unto you." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, 2 Peter 2, 21. It tells us, let me check it out. So, put 1 Peter 2, 21. Let me see. One second. The scripture says, "No prophecy of scripture came by the will of man, but the holy men spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God." Men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. So what actually obstructs a move of the Spirit is the will of man. Are you following what I'm saying? What's stopping you from a move of the Spirit now is the will of your will. In other words, there is something you just want God to do, and that's the basis of your relationship with God, and not willing to listen to Him as to what? So, it's a sound that comes out. And wherever one surrenders to the will of God, you soon begin to hear the sound of the wind of God in the life of that person. So what's the sound of many waters? Since we know Nicodemus came and Jesus said, that's the sound of the wind that you are hearing. Let's look at examples here. Job chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 9. The sound of many waters is the power that is released from the waters. The sound are the results that show forth in the life of that person as a result of many waters. Job 14 verse 7 to 9. It says, "For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it shall sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the roots thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, there is the power and effect of water. So when you hear the sound of many waters in the life of somebody, you look at a business that has folded up literally. You look at a church, all right, that is on the decay, which means, oh, we used to hear about that ministry 20 years ago. We used to hear about that, all right, business 10 years ago. And you drive past the place, and it's just a shadow of itself. Everything seems broken down. Now, it says we're just a scent of water. Which means that there is this type of water that if it just makes contact with that particular thing, put it up, it says it shall bud again. Job, yeah? Alright, it will bud and bring forth buds like a plant. So you look at it and everywhere is decayed. You come back 6 months time and the whole thing is booming. You come back in 6 months time, people are there in overflowing measure, and you say, what is going on? You say, that's the sound of the waters. Are you following what I'm saying? What you have just seen and what you have heard is the sound of many waters. So no matter, we're still going to look at some examples here. So people must know, and this is what I want to share this evening, the way to the waters. Where are these waters? Because it says, where the saints of waters is were born again. That's what it means is, in 6 months, if this, look, listen, if it's touching everything, they are going to see life, fruitfulness. You're going to see multiplication. That's if the waters, listen to me, touches all ministries in this city, whichever way you look at it, the least congregation will have 10,000 people as the sound of many waters. And you get what's going on here? It's the waters. That's the sound that is coming out of what is called many waters. So where are the waters? You know, there's a chap, and let me say it at this stage, I'll say it later in a minute, in days, because these waters are somewhere, and they have to be found. If it was common, that would have been the effect. Are you following what I'm saying here? Listen, if the waters were just common, that's everybody. You know, this gentleman used to work for a company, and after some time, he was given, as an entertainer, $50 million for it, and he walked away from the $50 million deal. This was many years ago in America. So they asked him in an interview, what made you walk away from the deal? And they didn't see him for 2 years. He finally came back for some years. He said, when I was living in Africa, I discovered something that he left and came to America. He was an American and came to Africa and somewhere in Southern Africa. And he said, let me tell you the story. He said, all right, and that story, I found it very deep. He said, I noticed when I got to Africa, I saw that what the certain types of people, it's not a derogatory statement. This is what they are called in that place. They are called bushmen. It's not your interpretation of bushman. All right? It's how they are called. So, that when they don't find water again, they don't have access to water again, that's the water has finished. And listen, water finishes, and you must look for the next pool. Brooks dry up, and you must look for where the water is next. Are you following what I'm saying here? Okay? And God does it that way so that you maintain fellowship with Him. The wind blows where it listens. You cannot have a corner on the move of God. What you have mastered today will be the very thing that will hinder you from entering the next move of the Spirit. This is how God does things. 10 seasons, 10 kings, except there's humility. Are you following what I'm saying here? Every season throws up new kings. So he said, when the water finishes, the bushman will go and get, will go and put salt into a cave. And they knew that baboons like salt. And so the baboons will come, and this cave will be a large piece of salt. And the baboon puts his hand right through the hole and holds onto the salt because he loves salt. But when he holds onto the salt, his hand gets bigger and therefore gets trapped. Because it's a large and doesn't want to leave the salt. So he holds onto the salt and he's holding and he's trying to get itself out until the bushman comes and carries the baboon, throws the baboon into a cage and gives the baboon all the salt it wants in the world. And after the baboon has eaten and eaten all the salt, it gets very thirsty. Then the bushman opens the cage because baboons know where water is hidden. And as the baboon is going, he runs after the baboon and the baboon takes it to the next tree and they discover water that way. So he said, I was being used to find the next place where waters were in the industry. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So there are waters there. And a few years ago, things were moving and they are no longer moving. Just be honest with yourself. That brook has dried. Don't front. See, you take responsibility for it. If somebody comes into this place and says, someone just poured a bucket of water on me as I was coming in. Why is this so? And the person is absolutely dry. You know nobody poured water on them. If the water touches, you're bored and you're fruitful. Can we go on here? So I'm trying to get where this water is. Now, I know and one of the things I prayed for this convention, it should be a convention where the voice of God comes into the body of Christ. A corrective voice, a revelatory voice, an instruct. Listen to me. Because we like using terminologies we don't understand. Christians. The washing of the water of the word. What is that water? We don't care. We just repeat it. We like to sound deep. The washing of water. What is the water? Tell, what's the water? It's Rema. What is Rema? So people must know the way to the streets. And don't give me Vine's Expository Dictionary definition of Rema. I've read it. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. It is not by coincidence, but the truth about the matter is that you have to be planted. The Bible says, whoever is planted by those waters, his leaf will never wither. Are you following what I'm saying? He will not cease to bring forth fruit. And one of the most powerful things is whatsoever he does will prosper. Ezekiel 31 verse 1 to verse 10. Alright, the sound. Let's hear the sound of water here. Ezekiel 31 verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto, all right, me saying, verse 2, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Now look at what he said. Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the fig boughs. And the waters did what? Made him great. What made him great? The waters. The deep set him up on high with her rivers running around about his plants. And sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Verse 5. Therefore his height was exalted because of these waters. Above all the trees of the field, his boughs were multiplied and his branches became long because, that's the sound of many waters. This is where we got it. Multitude of what? Waters. Or because of the many waters when he shot forth. So when he says his boughs were multiplied, it's almost like saying that, now let me use it because I'm pastoring the church for it, but in business, whatever. It means that The churches were multiplied. One, look at the second one, because you can multiply nonsense. Do you get what I'm saying? All right? It says, the boys were multiplied and his branches became long. Which means after there was multiplication, each one was very long. Do you get what I'm saying? Now the reason is because of the waters. Look at this. Therefore his height was exalted. Now this is where the problem comes in now. Above all the trees of the field, his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became very long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. Verse 6. All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under the branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he feared in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his roots, he says again, was by what? Great waters. The cedars of the garden could not hide him. Which means you try to cover, you just can't hide the person. Are you following? You can't hide him. You say, let's walk against him. You can't. He just keeps going. The fir tree were not like his boughs. The chestnut trees were not like his branches. Nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. Verse 9. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. See, let me say something about envy. People say, you know, people envy me. But when you say people envy me, you may have stepped into plight. Don't ever repeat that people are envious of me. Because you are thinking more about yourself than you ought to. Are you following what I'm saying here? If they're envious, leave them with the envy. It's not for you to start repeating it. See what it goes next. When they envied him, you know, Satan is a strategist at cunningness. He will throw something because he wants to do something else. So you will be fighting the envy, not knowing that what he wants to get you into is pride. Look at the next verse here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and hast shut up his top among the fig boughs, his heart is lifted up in his what? Height. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because therefore I have delivered him. Now, this should tell you. That if you're going to access this water, you have to have a humble heart. That if you're going to access this water, you must see God as your source. That if you're going to come to this water, any progress that you make, let me repeat, any progress that you make is because of the breath of God. Now, so let me leave that story there. So let's see this again to show you that. So what we're getting, because the shortness, he wanted to get closer to you. So his heart got lifted up and the things was cut off. Daniel chapter 4, verse 23 to verse 37. Remember, it tells us two things I want to connect with this scripture here I'm about to quote. Remember, it says there was his stump, or it tells us that the root wood was dried up in the ground. At the scent of water, it shall blossom again. You remember that? And then here again, it talks about pride. So let's look at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You'll find in Nebuchadnezzar, both were combined, and Nebuchadnezzar will give us an idea where that water is. Or, what that water is. Because it's the sound of many waters. But listen to me, joy is not the water. It is with joy we draw water. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's how you access the water. It is not the water. But you use it, it's the bucket you use to pull the water out. And he says once it starts touching the plants, then they begin to blossom again. So hear what? So let me just say this here. Please. Be careful of how you post on social media. Because everybody wants to jump into social media to announce their greatness. Now, when you post too much and people react, you will say it is envy. Not knowing that you have entered into pride. Particularly if the post is not the effect of water. One day I got to a city, I won't call the city so that nobody, but I got to a city. Because I'm telling you, social media is a challenge, oh. It's a two-edged sword. Are you following what I'm saying here? It can give you appearance, but not the real deal. Do you understand what I'm saying? And everybody defines themselves by how many likes. And you know that if you are seeking for likes, you are moving out of God's will. You know that. I hope you know that. You know that. If you are going to be a true... Alright. Now, I just say this here. So, now, the story I want to tell you was that I got to this airport. You know those cars they park in the airport? You know those cars? Brand new cars where they're paying. And this lady was there doing Instagram live, my car, in the airport. Tensioning other people. Car that they, a company parked in the airport, you opened the door, sat down, and did this, and was talking. I stopped. Say, God did it. You know what I'm saying? Tensioning people. Alright. Now, quickly. This was what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, we are connecting. We want to find where these waters are. So, and what the waters are. What the waters are. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew down, alright, the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let the portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times or 7 years pass over. So that was the judgment. He'll be cut off. And Nebuchadnezzar went, this was the greatest man in the kingdom. Got to the point where you saw the greatest man eating. Do you get what I'm saying here? Do you know how we'll have said, you know what people will have predicted is over? How have the mighty fallen? This man is finished. People will have written books. What so and so. How great men fall. And nobody will ever believe that somebody who was once king where everybody came to is now feeding with animals in a refuse dump can ever come back again with greater glory. It is water that touched him there that brought him to the throne. That's the sound of what? Many waters. And see what happened to him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord, the king. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen. This is king now. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till you know that the Most High, that you are getting to where the water is, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. Next verse. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree, of the true roots, thy kingdom shall be sure, which means it will bring forth, it will bud, the scent of water will come, after that thou hast known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break up thy sins by righteousness, thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, alright, if it be the lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. See, anybody that knows God, or you grow in the knowledge of God, let me tell you what happens. It changes the nature of spiritual sacrifice you offer up to God and changes the way you treat people. Finish. If you grow in the knowledge of God, it will change the kind of spiritual sacrifices you are offering up to God, and it will change the way you treat people. Not just people, most especially animals. It's in the Bible. I hope you know. I hope you know. Why do you think when the servant of Abraham went to look for a wife, and this for some people about marriage, went to look for a wife, he said, it's not the person who gives water to people, it's the person who feeds the animals. That's how we know the nature of that person. So they bring you to the house, you see a dog, you beat the dog. The relationship breaks. You say, what happened? Water has not touched your brain. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So if a man or a lady says, I hate animals, what they're saying is, I hate you. Alright. It's in the Bible. Don't let me divert into it. Alright then. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. And this is Wahala. And spake, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, now they had told him that judgment was coming. But the way God does his judgment is, that judgment can't land except you say something. That's why when God was coming to judge David, the prophet had to set him up by saying, what should happen to somebody who took? David said, that person, with his own mouth, must not last, he said, thou art that man. By thy words you be justified, by thy words you be condemned. Are you following what I'm saying? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be the beast and all of this, until you know that the Most High ruleth. Verse 33, the same hour the thing was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass and oxen. His body was wiped through of heaven and all of that. And he says, look, let's go till his hair, just to look at how he was. Till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Do you know how you'll have looked at him? It's a madman, he's finished. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes unto heaven. Now, what happened? And my understanding returned. That's where the water. That's the water. What returned was what? Understanding. Look at what happened. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth, whose dominion is ever's dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth his will accordingly, and he said that. And the Bible says, verse 36, it says, the same time my word reasoned. Wisdom and understanding came back. That means if something is dying with a touch of the right wisdom and understanding, that thing will go back up. Are you following me? And my God showed his things between us. Wisdom and understanding that is what you have. And my honor and brightness returned. And then my counselors and my Lord sought me. Before people came, wisdom and understanding came first. Let me just say this, I wrote this here. When you know heaven's doors rule, waters come back only when you look to heaven and know where the source of everything is. Those who were with him all left when heaven disapproved. Stay connected to your source or no relationship is secure. Because the people left. But when he connected back to the source, people came back. What did he receive when he looked to heaven that changed him? Reason and understanding. And it came as he looked to heaven. This is why. James 3:13-18 tells us, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works, which means you will begin to see his works, but at the same time you will see the meekness of what? Wisdom. Mighty works, but you see humility in the person. Next thing. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. So there is a wisdom that comes from above, which is what he looked to heaven, and that wisdom descended. So the waters there is wisdom. So he says this, from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. That means that when a person who has that wisdom will be highly supportive of others. You won't see strife in that person's feeling. You saw Abraham. This was the effect of waters. Abraham, when there was some strife, said, let there be no strife. He gave up land. He said, let Abraham, so he's a fool. He said, let him take it. When Isaac came, they came to his father's wells. He said, look, take it. The same Abraham to show that the kind, so this wisdom is not some theoretical thing where you're explaining scripture. It shows itself in that it changes things on the inside of you. It's not strife. It's a secret in this life that many don't know. The effort you will use to accomplish things in your own life will be, you have what's called least effort, heavy result, if you support others genuinely from your heart. I'm saying genuinely. And genuine people may not necessarily talk about it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like you sent a WhatsApp message, you are doing well. Does it mean it's genuine? Are you following what I'm saying there? That you came to shake somebody's hand doesn't mean it's genuine. Then the Bible says you can give your body and yet you are not real. You can give all your goods to the poor and still want that person to fail. Somebody did something recently and I asked, this many years ago, and I'll hide what I'm saying. But and I asked somebody, so I was trying to find out what was going on. So I asked the person. The person said, listen to me. This person told me this. Said I was there, I hugged the person, but this person's motives are wrong. But the person told me, no, not that person, from what the person said, I got it that at the kickoff of the ministry, the person gave the largest offering at that kickoff in US dollars, but said that that place will fail. Do you understand what I'm saying? And true, the ministry failed. Because there's something called the decree of the watchers. Are you following me? On Sunday, let's start saying the real secrets. Because he that will move farthest in life is the one that cultivates how to get blessed. You see, that people in their hearts are pronouncing blessings on you. Watch night service, I shared on it. The blessing of him that was ready to do what? Perish. So, our opinion was the decree of the watchers. That some businesses have come down because the people working there have so suffered. Yet they see the business growing. They see the CEO going for summer, pre-summer, post-summer, winter break, And they are there working and can't pay their children's school fees. Those pronouncements are not good. Are you following me? That, do you think Abraham was a fool? Abraham said, look, take it and go. Lot thought he had won. What happened was, when even Lot ran into trouble, Abraham didn't say, didn't I tell you? You think you are smart. If you, some of you, some song you'll have sung for them. You know the song. Alright? You will have sung. You see? God is the justifier. What about the wisdom that is from above? Let's go there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. It is peaceable. It's gentle. Easy to be entreated. So it's relational. Full of mercy. It's relational. It's not intellectual. It changes the way you behave. It changes the way you treat people. Alright? Good fruits without partiality, without what? Hypocrisy. So it's uncontaminated, free of envy and strife, very supportive of others, selfless and giving. Type of wisdom that Abraham, the type of wisdom that he got. Now, I will bring this to a close. I will show. So how do you get this wisdom? Okay? Tell the story of the baboon. How do you get to this wisdom? Because it is the wisdom, and once that wisdom begins to come, that's what the proverb says. He says, eat honey that is good and the honeycomb. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul when you have found it. There shall be a reward, and your expectation shall not be what? Cut off. So what you've got to understand is this. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the four stages of knowledge. There is what they call unconscious ignorance, where you are ignorant, but you don't know. You are ignorant, but you are talking from a position of knowledge. Then, when you grow, you now become consciously ignorant. That you know that your problem is actually you don't know how to do what you have been trying to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Then you can now move to the next level. First Corinthians 2, verse 6 to verse 12. It's going to show what this wisdom is. So it's not just there. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God. For example, let me say this. Oral Roberts, there was a man who wrote about Oral Roberts in one of his books. This is what he said. I just remember now. He said he went to meet Oral Roberts and told him, my church is not doing well, he's dying and all of that. Oral Roberts told him, he said, listen, you want your church to be a healthy, growing church? Yeah. All he taught him was how to build love. That's what taught him. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was about loving and loving people. It was all he told them was about love. And the man said, I went back and practiced it. I went back and practiced it. He said, and when I practiced it, he said, the whole church was totally transformed. So it's something that changes the way you behave. Now, look, let's go ahead. But we speak wisdom among the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained to this world, all right, before this world to our glory. Which none of the prince of this world do you fear? They knowing they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. So what he has prepared as our inheritance is this wisdom. And that when we begin to make use of this wisdom in our lives, and you start using it in what you are doing, It's the kind of wisdom that Jacob, that's what it means, you are planted by rivers. Alright, that wisdom you are using, whatsoever he does, he prospers. It's that wisdom, okay, that he is using. I mean, if we look at it, it was universal. You know, now we can spiritualize things. I say that, so why did you fail in that business? That wasn't my calling. Oh boy, leave it. That's not what he called me to do. What he called me into was, I was an investment, but it's tech. Leave it. The principles are the same. Let me tell you what God told me. He said, listen, he said, Joseph is what they gave him, he worked with. And he prospered. He had no control. He couldn't do what he was called to do. He did what he was given to do. He was locked up. And they moved him. Are you telling me it's the same thing he was doing in Potiphar's house? That he was the same thing that he was doing in jail? Is it the same thing he was doing as prime minister? But he prospered in everything. The Bible says, whatsoever he doeth, it means anything he does, prospers. Accept what the scripture is saying. See, anybody who begins to teach from an experience, not from scriptures, step back. Because what people do is that, let me tell you this experience I had, hold it. That's your experience. That's not Bible. You cannot use experience, alright, no matter how fascinating it is. Because the Bible tells us that even demons manifest as angels of light and can do lying sight. So you don't validate what you are saying. Alright, from experience. You can have an experience and go into the scriptures, but when you want to present it to people, present it from a position of the scriptures. And I'm saying this particularly to people that function in the prophetic. Make sure, I'm going to do an honor tonight here. What sustained the word of faith charismatic move in this country was a teaching priest. There was a teaching priest among them interpreting what was going on from scripture and stabilized it. Without a teaching priest, you can't stabilize any move. Are you following? Now, the teaching priest can get too intellectual and not operate to the prophetic. When I say prophetic now, and this is what I'm getting to in the waters, because the waters are prophetic in nature. They are not intellectual in nature. These waters, when you touch it, you know things by perception, not by intellectualism. In other words, you are going on a journey and you perceive. I was coming out of my house as I was carried out. The power went. As I was going out of the house, I just went to the main switch and switched it off. My answer said, why did you switch it off? I said, I'm switching it off. He said, you perceive something? I said, yes. As I was going out, I just felt that light will come back and there will be a surge. And I just saw a flash. My room burning with my passport. I said, this car. I can't be. I must be able to move. Listen to me. I won't disobey that nudging. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is a matter of life and death. Listen, the prophetic is rooted in scripture, but it's not a scripture that comes. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In other words, this is what I'm getting to in the waters. When Paul was going to be saved from the shipwreck, he did not quote a script. The angel didn't quote a scripture. Paul was a scholar. He could have been quoting Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. That's not water. Do you get what I'm saying here? I can abide under, that's what we're doing here. Then the angel came, he said, you can't die because you have to preach to Caesar. Finish. So if you think shakes, he won't quote a scripture. He will say, I have to preach to Caesar. But it's a scripture that got him to that point. Are you following what I'm saying? And until you come to this place of perception, I mean, I can't speak plainly, but I have to say the truth. You know, one time in this country, I went for a meeting. I won't call any name. And in the meeting, this man stood up And some people who had left him came back. And I looked with the eye of the Spirit. And I saw that the year they left was the year some others came to him. And those some others were in charge in the country. The ones that left, they were not close to this. Those people that came back, those people that came in, when these people were there, they were not, those people were not close. And I saw one of them just praying in tongues. And he just said, "Father, thank you that I saw, that I saw, that I saw." One day I was reading the Bible and God showed me. I was also, he said, "This child is for the fall and the rising of some." And God showed me somebody in ministry in the world. He said, "Look at the pattern. Whoever goes against him comes down. Whoever supports him goes up. Join your forces with that person." I told people when we were on campus, I said it to executives in our fellowship. One of them came back 7 years later. He said, "You told us that the connection to this person was going to be key to the next generation. You are correct. We didn't listen to you. See where we are." It's not written like that, but it's written. Are you following what I'm saying? One came to see me and said, "Pastor," he said, "listen, we sinned." He said, "That's why we are where we are, and you are where you are." I said, "So what do you want me to do?" He said, "Bring us back." I said, "How?" He said, "Form a board of trustees in your church and make us members." I said, "You want to kill me?" So how do you get, because we'll just say this, oh boy, it takes spiritual warfare to get that wisdom. It's war. And I'll show you how you do it. It is war. When you have won the war, you start seeing. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, "Hearing they hear, seeing but they perceive not." Perception means you leave this place and know that it's not that I wrote the notes, it's that I saw into the spirit realm that this is what I should do about this situation. That's perception. It's spiritual warfare. Am I sure you hear? Now it says, eyes, you see the scripture I quoted? The things God has prepared for them that love him. Now, where would Paul get it from? Isaiah 64 verse 1. Isaiah 64 verse 1. This is where he got it from. "Oh, that thou will do what? Rend the heavens, and thou will come down. And the mountains will flow down at thy presence." He says this. "When the melting fire burneth, and fire causeth the waters to boil, to make known thy name to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Verse 3. "When thou did terrible things in righteousness, we look not for. Thou came down, the mountains flowed at thy presence." And then he now got to that place. "For since the beginning of the world," he says, "men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee," which means no other person has seen it, "what thou hast prepared for them that do what? Wait." But there was warfare to get it. In that warfare, if you go to the next verse, it shows two things. How you relate with God. "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth, and the second, walketh righteousness," justice. When these waters begin to touch your soul, it will tell you, "This your may God. You've seen the children running around. Have you ever asked whether they are going to school?" Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like you get deeper in the Greek. Perception, let me just tell you, this is what we're saying, is that you know God wants to heal. Reinhard Bonnke said, he will go into me, I think it's Reinhard Bonnke, he will go into meetings. He said, and he'll be praying for everybody to be sick. He said, but after some time, he perceived that there was what you call the breakthrough miracle. That in every crusade, one key miracle releases the anointing into the atmosphere. So he said, before he comes in, he says, "God, show me who that person is." He said, he'll just be looking. He'll just see the person in the spirit. "You lay hands." He said, the healing anointing breaks all over the whole place. Everybody begins to get healed. That's perception. That's prophetic. Perception is that you're going and say, let us pray. Seeing is, you know how long to pray. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, you can spend time praying, but you didn't pray. I hope you know. And if you perceive things, you will know when the measure of power you have released is still low. And you will not expect anything to happen that you even have written down, because you know sufficient power has not been generated. It's not to go and start meeting God. God, why didn't it happen? You know. So it's as the Spirit reveals, this is what we call the waters. That wisdom that changes things. So how do we get to this? Alright, wisdom on show here. That is warfare, but what do we mean by warfare? And I read some biology to make sure what I was saying was correct. And I am correct in nature, because I went back to biology. Because whatever is spiritual must have a natural parallel. Are you following me? If what somebody is saying contradicts natural parallels, I don't care what you're saying, you are wrong. Because Jesus came and said, so is the kingdom, and showed us natural parallels. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. He says, a sower went to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, was trodden under the fowls of the earth, devoured. And then he tells us, and some fell upon a rock, and soon sprung up and withered, because it lacked what? Moisture. In other words, it didn't have access to water. And that same one, verse 13 tells us, Luke 8, 13, it says that they down the rock are they which were here, received the word of God with joy, and these have no roots. In other words, they lack moisture because they had no roots. So, I thought about it. When I read it, they said, why do plants start growing roots? Roots grow because they are searching for water. So the roots is growing. In search of what? Water. That means after the word is planted, hear this, trials and tribulation come, then you start searching for the water. Do you get what we're saying here? That's the only time the search starts. What happens is many people get offended instead of searching. It says, trials and tribulation, get offended for the sake of what? Instead of growing roots and start searching for water, they get offended. What you thought was a revelation, you tried it, it didn't work. What we are saying is, there is unconscious ignorance. Why you think you've done what is right, but it is not what is right. So once you come to that point, and everybody comes to that point, which means in everybody's life, who will find where the next brook is the person in all integrity that says that this struggle I'm having, I must find the wisdom to answer it. They start the search. For young ministers who are going to be the great ministers in 5 years' time, it's the people that are struggling now in their churches with 50 people with all of that. And instead of getting angry, because when you get offended, what you now do is that you now go into envy and start, like Cain, you start killing Abel. They don't do that. They understand that, listen, I don't know as I ought to know. They begin a search because they have used everything available right now, but it's not answering their question. Like Eli, who said, he said, I listened to everything, he said, but there was no answer. So he started the search. And in that search there, as you are going, after some time, if you are persistent, listen, if you are persistent, if you know that there is a solution, you can't come and tell me something is impossible. Listen, I needed some tape, some video that I had. I wanted to use it during the conference. And I called somebody in the office. So I said, I asked somebody, who did I give this to? Finally, I found the person in the office. So I said, where's the video? The person said that the hard drive dropped and is scattered. We've lost everything. I said, you can't say we've lost it. I need the video. The video is somewhere. I can't be looking for it and it's not somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever is in my heart, it's in existence. You can't tell me it is the end. You start a search. Christians are too mentally lazy for that search. So they never get to water. So what they do is what they head is what they're trying to do. And what they head is the seed, not the root of that water. That's why Job, when he got to water, he said, I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. Now with my eyes, I've seen you. That's the water. That's perception. It's not what is taught, it's what you caught. Are you following me? Why did they lack moisture? The reason was that they had no roots. Roots grow out of a seed in search of moisture. When the heat comes, people who understand will begin to grow out their roots and search for moisture, which is wisdom, which means there is a wisdom that will solve this thing. The search begins. Roots grow deep into the soil or spread themselves to access water. Offense and bitterness is a form of water, but it's water that kills, not water that causes growth. So you can get offended. You can say this, you can say that. Look, listen. You can be offended in the country as it is. But I'm trying to tell you that there are some people that are searching. There are young people that are searching. That are going to hit the waters. That will build corporations and business because of the difficulty. Are you following what I'm saying here? So they go on a search. They say, listen, there has to be a solution. And they begin to search. You need to understand there is water somewhere that will solve the issue. And I must grow my roots to access it. Many don't get to these waters. They are offended at a ton of events. They are offended in people and offended in God. And everybody, listen to what I'm saying here. This is the only path to the waters. Things are going to happen you are not going to like. But you are going to have to press through. This is where the journey to where the waters begin. Many of us want to stop, or many of us stop at admiration of truth, explanation of truth, but we don't appropriate it. Which means you heard the word, it was planted, the word didn't grow to find water to solve your problem, but you are explaining it. Do you get what we're saying? To appropriate is to practically possess something. It is to bring something into your daily walk, which means forever is part and parcel of you. I told somebody, I said, principles remain the same forever. But we may have a partial knowledge of principles. But I must tell you, ministries that are rising to be in this country are not following the old pattern. They are not. I won't say more than that. If you look at it with the eye of the Spirit, they are not. And just by looking at it well, I come to realize why some people actually... some people actually... failed because, see, there is the minor, there is the major. You can major on the minor and minor on the major. Are you on something? Because many people are growing up and let's leave it. This is our minister's conference. Let's leave it. An old English evangelical said, there was a supply of the Spirit of Jesus for Paul, and that made it possible for Christ to be magnified in him. It was a supply always available but not appreciated and appropriated when Paul, only appropriated when Paul came to know his need. Life is meant to bring a succession of discoveries of our need for Christ. And with every such discovery, a way is opened for a fresh inflow of that supply. So it is what is going on in your life that you are going to push through to get to the water.
Are you able to say?
T.S. Austin Spark said, every bit of truth we receive it lovingly. It will take us into a conflict and will be established through conflict. It will be worthless without a battle over it. Take any position the Lord calls you to take, and if you are taking it with Him, you are going to go through things in it. And there will be an element added by reason of the battle. And we can't raise a generation that thinks that once there's a conflict, it means what I'm doing is wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? Once there's a conflict, what people feel that once there's a conflict, and people almost preach it, once there's a conflict, it says what you're doing is wrong. In other words, Joseph should have been wrong. Joseph should have been wrong. I won't call him, the wife, if I call him, big pastor in this city. When I went to see her, she said, listen, I said, why are mental health issues increasing? He said, the resilience is dying. He said, it's going out of it. He said, can you remember when we'll go to church back then? He said, we'll go to Christ Chapel. He said, it was about resilience. It was about fighting. He said, now it's almost like the thing must, if it doesn't, then you wore the badge of you are enduring things. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, it's almost like when you're enduring things, you're a sinner. And so, everybody's looking for that easy way out. So, in the integrity of their lives, their own pastor, which means the roots that should go deep is not. People are offended. See, I was in a church. You won't believe, I've said this before. The pastor was preaching. He stabbed my friend, which wasn't true. What he did wasn't true. I'm just saying that politely. What he was saying on the pulpit wasn't true. But he stabbed everybody. And then called me after the service and said, I put a knife through your friend's back. I saw you in the congregation and I stabbed them. So that you go and tell them. This is a pastor telling you. Call me privately. If it's today, I was there the next Sunday. So, God, your problem is your problem. God has anointed you. Just keep teaching what I am here. People won't come again. We've even got to the place where if you don't give people cake, they will say they're not going to. They didn't welcome me properly. They didn't give me cake. You know what I'm saying here? I remember back then, Christ Chapel over there, when we were going to church, the whole street will be flooded. People will be on the side, almost like the fence, walking like this with children. If you try it now, you and your family alone will be in the church. No residence. So people are even getting to the waters. That fighting attitude is not there. That look, my friend, what are you saying? What are you saying? Are you saying that we're not going, we will solve this problem? You have taken a position, but you have not really gotten it. You have not come to its real significance until there have been some conflict. Continuing, but the waters are in the innermost courts of God. That's where they get to. And let me tell you, to get there, you fight your way. It is warfare to get to that point. What do I mean by this? You fight your way through the disappointment. You fight your way through the offense. You fight and press in. The Bible says, if any be afflicted, let them pray. When they have prayed and they are now merry, let them sing psalms. Pray yourself into joy. Then rejoice and the waters will begin to come. It is spiritual warfare. Take up the heaviness in prayer and birth it, and rejoicing will release what you have birthed. That type of prayer will open up your eyes and your ears. And then you can worship God in spirit and in truth. And as you begin to do that type of worship, then the waters, which is the wisdom that you need for that situation, for everything, begins to flow. You will see things. Not just intellectually understand things, you start seeing things in the spirit realm. Revelation will come like a flash, and you will know what to do. Isaiah 35 verse 1 to 6, and I close it, says, this is what we're talking about here, and how did they get to that point? The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing, and glory of the Lord shall be given, excellency of Sharon shall see the glory of the Lord. Verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Now before they got there, the hands were weak. Confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with a recompense, and he will save you. What's that salvation? He said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. This is warfare. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And when that happens, then the lame man shall leap as a hart. You can't get to that point of rejoicing if you haven't won that battle in prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at what it says here. It says, you will leap, and the tongue of the dumb will sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Those that get to those waters is warfare. See, when we started this church, I remember, For my first 2 months, I preached on spiritual warfare. A lady, she's in America now. She used to be on a campus, but she was doing masters then. So she came to the service with all time. So she came to see me after. She was going to America. She's now a professor. All right? She may be watching now. But I don't think she may not even remember. She's a professor somewhere now in America. And she told me something. Stayed with me throughout. Said, this teaching on warfare you have seen, said, I've come to realize, if you don't fight and win, you can't see God in worship. Are you following me? You can sing, but you won't see God in worship. You know, if we don't pray for a meeting, we all come here. I will say, everybody start worshiping. You will know. You will know that they haven't prayed. Because there will be heaviness. Are you following me? Yeah? Now, if we pray and break through, you know, once you start singing, bam, everybody starts singing God. So that's what we're saying. It's warfare intimacy. You fight the war, win the war, it brings intimacy with the Father. That intimacy releases the waters, which are wisdom and understanding. You come down to the earth, haven't touched heaven, and use that wisdom in what you are doing. Are you following me? That's why worship is a very important part of this meeting. Because it's the effect of worship that will make you see something. See, let me say, the lady is I won't call her name, and I won't call the ministry. But if you count 4 ministries in this country, you call the ministry. And I won't call the position she holds, but she has done Ogakwatakwata, they led the largest congregation there as a lady. We were on campus. Lagoon Front. One day, we just see the executive of the fellowship, an executive member of fellowship, we are all together. Lagoon Front, University of Lagos. I don't forget things. We started spontaneous worship. So the leader would just say, you, come up and do oratory praise. And then you can't say I'm not a worship leader. You will do, are you right? So you begin. You must do psalm hymns because they will open the scripture that every man comes with a psalm, him, and all of that. So you must exercise yourself. My heart will be beating. Don't let them come. Yeah, 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 yeah. Don't call me. If you call me, yeah. And they never called me. Never called me. Because the leader was my very good friend. So maybe he knew that my doesn't like me. But they'll call you something else. And one day, let me tell you this. They called her. She wasn't praying him. She just got up and started worship. At the end of the thing, when we go back to the room, the way she was saying slang then, did you see that type? Man, that was deep. The leader just said, that thing doesn't come from meditation. That thing comes from depth of worship. That girl is a worshiper. Of course, for reasons of joke, within 6 weeks, while we were still sharing, one of the brothers had gone to ask her out. Young prelim jambai girl. He had said, this one must be my house. Okay, but what I am saying is that it was spontaneous. So when the anointing is rubbing off. That's what anointing is. They took knowledge they had been with what? Jesus. But it takes warfare. Which means what you gave up on, you should have fought through on it. What you dropped and said it's not working is because you didn't get to the waters. The roots didn't grow and touch the water. Once you touch the water, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul when you are found it. There will be a reward and your expectation will not be cut off. But you have to fight your way there. And you don't allow envy. You don't allow strife. You fight those devils. What's his name? I can't remember. He said he had an open vision of warfare in heaven. And he the shot, and they will hit the brother. In other words, when you are in strife, demons have confused you. Your business is not, you say my business is not growing because it's not that. It's lack of wisdom, full stop. Let me repeat. Lack of what? Wisdom, full stop. Let the roots go deep. You will get to the waters. And understand, the waters of this season is not the waters for the next season. Do you get what I'm saying? And as the next season comes, if fresh warfare comes, then God says, spread the roots. Because trees that grow high, that's why it's good to check knowledge well. It's not necessary that their roots are going deep. Because you say, the root is deep. That's not what happened. It's that they spread the roots. In other words, there are several places they are tapping water from. Several challenges and understandings that they have. That they are drawing from different places. Are you following what I'm saying here? So we'll spend, before we get into worship here, let's just spend 10 minutes, all right? Let's just stop playing. As 10 minutes praying, getting rid of any burden of heaviness. Instrumentalist with God. Just start praying in the Spirit, and if you are at home, begin to pray. Just say, Lord, start praying in the Spirit. I'm going to pray through this thing. The wisdom, the water, I'm going to get to it. Just begin to pray and pray and pray. Praying in the Spirit, praying that this conference is about me tapping and touching the waters. Standing, knowing the way, seems
dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.